Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. It seems this week everyone is talking about health care, including food retailers who, to their credit, have waded into the middle of the fracas, offering their ideas, suggestions, examples of programs that could work. Walmart called for a mandate on businesses to ensure their workers. Safeway CEO is holding a series of talks about using employee incentives to control health care costs. And this week, Whole Foods CEO John Mackey entered the fray with a controversial opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal. Mackey is an iconoclast known for his libertarian views, and he outlined 8 suggestions for how the government could save health care dollars, like allowing insurance companies to compete across state lines and taxpayers to make contributions on their tax forms to help care for the uninsured. But the so-called organic guru really stirred the pot with this. Rather than increase government spending and control, he wrote, we need to address the root causes of poor health. This begins with the realization that every American adult is responsible for his or her own health. Mackey went on to point out our obesity levels, poor dietary choices, and the medical conditions that result in soaring health costs. Now there's a bit of a backlash against Mackey and Whole Foods by his left-leaning customer base. Some are even calling for a boycott. Joining me now to talk about the Whole Foods dust-up and the role of personal responsibility in our healthcare conversation is David Leonhardt. He's an economics columnist for the New York Times and staff writer for the magazine. He raised the question of personal responsibility in his recent column entitled Fat Tax. Welcome to WNYC. Why don't we just start right there? How about a fat tax? Is it such a crazy idea to tax people who are overweight?
Well, I think it's a crazy idea to tax people who are overweight, but I don't think it's a crazy idea to tax foods that make you overweight. It's a little bit tricky to figure out how to do it, but there are ways to do it. And if you do it, and then you say, look, if you're consuming these foods and you're consuming lots of them and making yourself overweight in the process, then you're going to face higher taxes because you are also likely to be imposing higher healthcare costs on society. But the idea of taxing people who are overweight is problematic for any number of reasons.
Well, give us a few of those reasons. Why not tax the people? Isn't it appropriate to talk about personal responsibility and individual behavior as part of the healthcare debate?
Absolutely. And a tax on something like sodas would get at exactly that, right? So if you were to tax sodas, and I think it's worth taking a second to pause and think about one statistic. The price, the real price of sodas over the last 3 decades has fallen 33%, and the real price of fruit and vegetables has gone up 40%. That's obviously a 30-year period in which the country has gotten a lot heavier. And so part of what we have going on here is people responding to prices in the market. And so I don't have any problem with saying, look, we want government policy that encourages personal responsibility. That's what we do with seatbelt laws. That's what we do with basic laws about burglary and violent crimes and all sorts of things. But the idea of going out and identifying individuals and saying you're overweight, we're going to tax you, first of all, if you just think about the logistics of it, it's sort of a nightmare. And second of all, it seems quite unfair. I mean, the research is not entirely clear about just how much of obesity and overweight is. I don't want to say genetic, but is specific to people. We know that the rise in obesity over the last generation is not genetic. Gene pools don't change. But there really is variation in the population in terms of how susceptible people are to being overweight. At least that's my reading of things. And so the idea that we'd go out and tax people for being overweight then leads you to say, well, why don't we tax people for having cancer? Why don't we tax people for having back pain? And it's a pretty unpleasant slope to be on.
My guest is David Leonhardt, economics columnist for the New York Times, and we're talking about the role of personal responsibility in the current healthcare conversation. We'd love for you to join us. Please call 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC, or post a comment at WNYC.com. Health.org. Now, David, in his piece in the Wall Street Journal, John Mackey points out that two-thirds of Americans are now overweight. One-third are obese, a medical term. Most of the diseases that kill us, he writes, and account for about 70% of all health care spending, he cites heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, are mostly preventable through proper diet, exercise, not smoking, minimal alcohol consumption, and other healthy lifestyle choices. Now, I understand your suggestion that it would be problematic to target individuals, but let's look at smoking as a comparison. Isn't that more comparable to the choices of what we eat than, say, the cancer analogy?
Oh, yeah, I think smoking is a great analogy. So let's think about how we've made tremendous progress against smoking as a public health scourge and think about, well, okay, how can we do the same thing about obesity? Because obesity really is a terrible public health problem. And I think we're far too lax about dealing with it. And so I absolutely agree that we need to think about ways to encourage personal responsibility. We don't tax smokers, right? We tax smoking. We tax cigarettes. And so I think food is more complicated because I think if we put a tax on tobacco that caused tobacco use to fall to something very close to zero, no one outside of the tobacco industry would be that upset about it. If we put a tax on food that made it prohibitively expensive for some people, that would be really problematic because you need some number of calories. And so, again, it's a little bit complicated to think about, but soda really is a great example. I mean, our soda consumption has gone up so much over the last few decades, and those are really empty calories. I mean, the calories that come from a Pepsi or a Coke or a Red Bull, or defining soda more broadly, a Gatorade, or from one of these juices that's not really a juice, is a juice drink. Those are just empty calories. If we put a tax on those things, as some in Congress have suggested, we would not need to worry that we'd be causing great hardship on people. If they couldn't afford quite as much Coke and Pepsi as they now had, they'd still be fine. And over the long term, we could probably make some sort of dent in the obesity because the increase in soda consumption has been a significant contributor to the rise in obesity.
All right. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and we have a call precisely on that point from Alex, who is calling from Midtown Manhattan. Alex, you're on WMYC. Welcome. I think we may have lost Alex. Let's take a call from Douglas in Midwood, Brooklyn. Douglas, welcome to WMYC.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I wish you all the best.
Please go ahead with your comment. We welcome it.
I don't think you should tax people for being overweight or for being stocky or chubby. Some people are just born that way. I have a daughter. She's 10 years old. She's chubby. She's a little stocky. She'll never be skinny like a Barbie doll. She'll never be a supermodel. You can't tax people for being chubby.
How do you feel, Douglas, about taxing the foods that contribute to obesity, say soda or some of the foods that contain trans fats?
They're already taxing my soda, and, I don't see they're already doing that. And, sometimes kids like to eat French fries. What can I tell you? You know, it's kids.
I like to eat French fries as well. And I have to say those McDonald's fries aren't as good without the trans fats in them. I hate to admit it on radio, but I'm here to tell you they're not as tasty, although I know they're better for me. David Leonhardt, let me come back to you on this issue of the hard-nosed approach to health care. You talk in your piece about the smoking cessation programs, and you use that as an example. And I want to use it to turn to this question of income and education levels, because in many ways, this is about the class divide. It is true that some people are born chubby, as Douglas points out, but also what we eat is largely defined by where we live and what we can afford. And in some ways, it seems rather unfair for Mr. Mackey or others to place so much responsibility on those choices when, in part, they're defined by socioeconomic status.
They are defined in part by socioeconomic status, and that's one of the things that I argued in my article on Sunday, which is that in many cases these anti-obesity strategies are beyond the power of any individual. No one individual can change the fact that the price of soda has fallen 33% over the last three decades and the price of fruit and vegetables has gone up 40%. No one person can do anything about that. That's really about government policy. And so I think part of what needs to happen is a real reexamination of what aspects of government policy are either failing to stop those trends, which cause people to be unhealthier, and not only cause people to be unhealthier, but really act as a tax on the whole country. So Douglas just said that, you know, people should be able to have sodas when they want, and I'm all for that. But the problem is that by doing that, they're driving up all of our health care costs. The typical household in this country now pays something like $1,200 a year in taxes and insurance premiums just to treat obesity and the conditions that result from it. And so I don't think people have the right to go out and consume as much fatty food and as much soda as they want and then stick the rest of us with the bill. And that's why it seems to me that a little bit more hard-headed approach on this, in which we decide that we are going to use government policy to discourage the consumption of things that stick everybody else with a big health care bill at a time when a lot of people are struggling to find enough money in their paycheck to meet their own obligations, is a policy that just makes a lot of sense.
Let's take a call from Linda in Warwick, New York. Linda, you're on WMYC.
Hi, thank you. I don't think that corporations have the right to stick us with extraordinary health care costs, and I don't think you're going back far enough. I mean, to say that it's personal choice, sure, that's fine. It's personal choice. And I don't even think it's the government. I mean, what about, I mean, of course the government. I mean, who is going to regulate corporations who make money in a very unethical way? I mean, that's the real issue.
Are you talking about the insurance companies? Or are you talking about the companies that sell us all these treats that are bad for us?
I'm talking about sell us things that are guaranteed to make people practically addicted to it, all the sugars, all the fatty foods. How come nobody is like disgusted at those companies? I mean, why target some individuals when in fact no targeting of an individual can be specific enough to matter? And in fact, it's very, very against the idea of freedom and liberty. Mm-hmm. However, do you have freedom to make people sick, to make an entire nation sick? Is a corporation beyond beyond the law? And why say, okay, it's easy to tax people, it's not easy to tax a corporation? That's completely wrongheaded. I don't get that.
Well, I guess John Mackey would say, David Leonhardt, that his corporation promotes good health and healthy eating, but her point is well taken, the tension between corporate responsibility and personal responsibility.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in some ways corporate responsibility falls into the same bucket here as personal responsibility, which is we need to think about this, I think, from a systemic point of view. Simply asking, and I don't think the caller is suggesting this at all, but simply asking companies to please not sell their sodas is really problematic. The Clinton Foundation, former President Clinton's foundation, came to this agreement with the soft drink makers that in many ways was positive. It got them to reduce the amount of soft drinks that they had in schools. But there were some pretty interesting loopholes in it, which is they didn't agree to nearly as much removing of the non-carbonated sugary drinks, the sports drinks and things like that. And that was a strategic decision on the part of the soft drink companies because that's the part of the market that's growing. And so this voluntary agreement with the Clinton Foundation has been helpful, but it's not nearly as helpful as something like an outright ban on these sorts of drinks in schools or a tax on these drinks because the same way we tax tobacco. We say, look, these things impose societal costs, and we're not telling you you can't have a cigarette, and we're not telling you you can't have soda, but we're telling you, look, you can't have soda and ask us to pay the hospital bill as a result. If you want to have the soda, we're going to have a tax that helps cover those health care bills.
Well, it's a whole lot more food for thought in the healthcare conversation. Thank you so much, David Leonhardt, for your insight today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Later in the program, we'll continue our conversation about personal responsibility with a look at electric cars. Coming up next, the Hudson River cleanup. Stay tuned.